we are joined by our team doctor here.
Yes.
Everybody has to have one. Dr. Jim Adams from Northwestern Medicine. Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Mm-hmm. Says right here. All right. A couple of things. All right. All right, you know when you go to your doctor's office, and Jim, you know this very well. You're an emergency room doctor. A lot of times, the people come in, and you'll say, you know, what were you just doing tonight? Because that'll often lead to the answer for why they're in your emergency room, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So on Saturday night, I was in California, and I was at a charity event, and I was at a group of some friends and some other people who are in the entertainment industry, and we all ended up out to dinner at night. And there were a couple of people that are on TV who were they're also doctors. Crazy.
TV
enough.
Docs.
TV doctors. But real doctors, though. And they started vaping marijuana at the dinner table. And you know what you can do in California now? And the doctor said to me, he's like, you know, this is so much better for you than the liquor, than the alcohol. And I'm like, What? And then I took a hit, which I didn't think was actually better for me than the alcohol, as it turned out, because my left hand and my right hand did not know how to talk to each other anymore. Where does medicine come down on this? Because now we're about to get it in Illinois, legal non-medical marijuana.
Well, I'll tell you, there's two parts to that. One is the marijuana, and it's not like the marijuana from decades past. It's much stronger. It's much more concentrated in THC. So got to be careful. And
yeah.
Then
thanks for telling me now.
Yeah. And then in moderation, okay, it's less dangerous than other substances, but there's nothing that we can argue is healthy about it. So we would encourage people to be responsible, be careful. There's nothing to recommend it, but it's fine to live life and just be careful, because this is not controlled. This is not well understood. There's a lot. We see a lot of contaminants, and we see people in the emergency department even after smoking marijuana once.
What would that be because of?
People get palpitations. Sometimes people are very sensitive to it, and it affects their heart, and they come in with palpitations. We see people with anxiety. We see people who don't like the effects on their brain. It makes them paranoid. So we do see some effects from this.
Yeah. Well, I had all of that.
I'm going to say, you just described Rose's symptoms.
That worked out great.
Story.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it's interesting, though, because the argument I think people are making in this, the sociological argument, not the medical argument, is about the notion of what's safer for you, alcohol or marijuana. And it's really, is there an argument on either side there?
So be careful with that argument, because some people's just their body, their brain chemistry are prone to addiction. And some people, if they take marijuana, they're going to take it to excess. If they take alcohol, they take it to excess. Mm-hmm. But if they do exercise, they take that to excess. But some people, if you're going to be an addictive personality, it's probably better to be addicted to healthy stuff than unhealthy stuff. So I think it's knowing who you are, and can you take it in moderation? I think we just have to be careful.
And I would think that there's such, as it's coming to Illinois, recreational marijuana legal January 1st of 2020. I mean, there's a lot for us to learn. And I wonder, is there a great variance in terms of what you would buy at these stores and in terms of the outcomes it would, you know, have on
well,
your
they
body
promise
medically.
Different outcomes, right? I mean, that's
what they say.
Yeah.
Do you want to sleep? Do you want to, you know, calm down? Do you want, I mean, they ask what you want to do at this one that Ro went to in California.
Right, but there's nobody testing or validating these claims, and it's not really approved or tested, and the purity is not assured. So I do think some caution is warranted, and just be easy with it, be light, don't overdo it.
Okay, so and there's also a story about if you do smoke pot, anesthesiologists need to know that. Hmm. What is that connected to?
Sure, it's marijuana, but really it's all kind of drugs, and there's a strong recommendation, just be honest with your doctors. The doctors should not be judgmental. They're there to help you. But if people are use marijuana a lot or use other drugs a lot, they can need a lot more anesthetic. So it's nice to know, because I've had patients that I was giving anesthetic, and I was giving high doses and higher doses and higher doses, and it made me very, very worried. But it turned out that the patient had just a heavy drug user, and they just needed it. And it's okay, but we need to know that in advance.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
And the actual vaping part, too, whether it's the tobacco or marijuana, right? Isn't the vaping thing is its own issue?
Yeah, no, vaping there's been vaping of some sort around for about a decade, but remember, there's like thousands of different cartridges. You can buy them on street corners and random stores, and again, no quality control, no FDA approval. And there's now young people with serious lung damage all over the country. We have no idea what it's from, but possibly it's from something they've been vaping, and it's getting deep in their lungs and causing lung inflammation and really damaging lungs.
That is so concerning. And I saw even here in Illinois, the hospitals are noticing these incidents of younger people showing up with severe breathing problems as a result. I guess it's being linked to vaping.
Yeah, the state departments of public health in Illinois, in Indiana, in Wisconsin, in Minnesota have all seen this. They're trying to figure out why. There's national conversations to try to trace this back. We don't know why. But there's kids on heavy-duty life support, because wow, their lungs are just seriously damaged, and we have no idea why, although it does seem traceable to vaping.
All right, I'm going to lighten this up just a little bit, because now it's too heavy, man, as I learned. Right, that's how I learned that on Saturday night, too. Just say, it's too heavy, man. It's too heavy. All right,
gosh,
so...
Keep Ro out of California.
I know. I was like, I don't know if you watch Mad Men, Doc, but I'm like living the last season of Mad Men right now. All right, here we go. What does the binge-watching TV actually has an effect on your brain?
You know, the brain, the body, it needs to be stimulated, and watching TV just doesn't do it. So you need to read, play games, socialize. You need to do other stuff with your brain than sit for hours on and watching TV. It's just not enough stimulation.
And there's a study that says that now?
Yeah.
Didn't we know
yeah.
that already?
I mean, you kind of suspected it, right?
Kids, so your mother always told you.
Right.
Yeah, get out and do something.
You fall into like a coma, right? You see these kids who are in like TV comas. We're like, come on, wake up. Are you there?
Yeah.
Not listening to you anymore. They won't. I mean, they're not. I don't know.
But it's their screens, though, too, right? I mean, but I wonder now, is there a difference? One would surmise there would be a difference between the interactivity of social media or a video game than there would be just sitting there watching something.
Well, the video games do develop different skills, honestly. And, you know, the kids these days have, with all the minimally invasive surgery or the piloting, so there's a lot of kids with actually good, fast reflexes. And so maybe it does train you for some occupations. But again, there's limits. But yeah, video games are a little bit different, but anything can be overdone.
All right. And then also there's a new study that says there's a disturbing rise in teenagers who need glasses because of excessive screen time.
Yeah, there is a study in Britain that says in the past 7 years or so that the number of teenagers, like 13 to 16, that needed glasses rose from 20% to 35%, so near doubling. So this rapid rise that they're saying is probably due to the screen time. Hard to know, but that's a pretty striking rise.
Yeah, that is. I mean, how would you know as a parent that your kid is actually having eye problems? I mean, I know it's required in kindergarten to take them to the eye doctor, but I don't think regular eye visits, I mean, you don't necessarily do that. I mean, what would they complain of? Just like be rubbing their eyes, or what would be the symptoms that you would notice?
Yeah, so that's a great point, because that's the question. If a third of kids need glasses, should there be routine screening? And maybe yes. But yeah, when the kids are squinting at the screen or squinting at the blackboard, just pay attention. It's time to get an early eye exam. And the other thing is if somebody's complaining of headaches. So if they're not seeing right, they'll get headaches.
My grades just went down. They got me glasses. It didn't work.
I think it's his eyes.
They're like, you're not seeing the blackboard. I'm like, no, I'm seeing the blackboard. No, you're not seeing the blackboard.
Put him closer in the front of the room.
Right.
See if that works.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's the issue.
keep trying.
Yeah, I'm in radio. It was a daydreaming that caused the problems. All right. Thank you, doctor.
Thanks.
It's always a great
Dr.
pleasure
Jim.
To have you. Thank you.
It's my pleasure.
Bye-bye. I wish Dr. Jim was sitting next to me at that dinner on Saturday night.